This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is the WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Today in studio from Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford, Gordon Ferguson. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. Thanks, Scott.
A lot has happened over the years, and you're kind of wrapping up a lot of those years, I guess, this week and, next month as well?
That's right. My successor took her position on May 1st. And so that's when I moved out of the office that I've occupied for the last 15 years. And we're in the process of welcoming Daphne David as the hospital's new CEO.
When you first started, it was Middle Tennessee Medical Center, then later becoming Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford. How was all of that transition? Because you went through quite the change with the name change alone.
That's correct. We have had a few changes in our ownership structure over the last 27 years and also with our name and our branding. Many may recall that the hospital was sold back in 1986 and it had been solely independent and was bought by what was then Baptist Hospital and St. Thomas Hospital. So for many years we were lovingly referred to as MTMC, and amongst the various changes with the new hospital construction, shortly after we moved, the decision was made that we would be branded Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford.
For anybody who's not from here, used to be located in downtown Murfreesboro, and that area where the hospital once was is now a big grassy field.
That's right. You know, a lot of folks in our community were very sad and some upset to see the original hospital building demolished. I think it was around 2011. And we looked for a potential buyer for the different buildings on our old campus, but there just wasn't a big market out there for a used hospital. And so we were able to work out an arrangement with MTSU and Dr. McPhee for the university to buy the vacant land as well as the Bell Street building and the parking garage.
One of the things we haven't really talked a whole lot about on the radio in past interviews is your start in the medical field. So what got you started on this journey that ultimately led you to be over a hospital that grew quite a bit in size?
Yes, it's been a very rewarding journey in my career. I started in Birmingham, Alabama, went to University of Alabama to receive my master's in healthcare administration. My father was a Presbyterian minister in Knoxville when I was growing up, and I would tag along with him sometimes when he was visiting patients in the hospital, but I was so young I had to stay in the lobby. Over the years, I just got fascinated with the different activities taking place in a hospital, and when I was at UT in Knoxville, I worked part-time at Fort Sanders Regional Medical Center as an orderly, or what we would call today a patient care tech. And that's where it really solidified my interest in healthcare and in business. And while some folks think that I am a doctor, I'm not. I work a lot with physicians, but that's kind of what got me interested. I felt that it was a job that had meaning to it in terms of helping others, and then just the complexity from a business and management perspective intrigued me.
How has the hospital changed? I mean, looking back to when you were just a kid going with your father on these hospital visits to today.
You know, back then, hospitals were considered very safe places, and you could really walk in and almost go anywhere in the hospital that you wanted to. But I think over the years, we've seen just significant increase in the amount of violent patients that find their way to our emergency room seeking care. And so we've really had to beef up our security over the years, even since I've been here in Rutherford County. I think another change would just be the dependency we now have on computers and digital technology. In the old days, we would all have handwritten patient charts to read and document the care. And then we also, at that time, had no email or text messages. So we have come a long way in the last number of years, for better or worse.
Stepping up security within the hospital was a big step, and a lot of changes within that as well.
Yes. In our emergency room now, we do have a security guard posted there, and making sure that individuals who are not appropriately credentialed carry weapons into our hospital. And again, I think we have got a lot of different resources we put in place just to protect our staff as well as our patients.
Again, Gordon Ferguson with us with Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford here in Murfreesboro. What is the plan going into the future for the hospital? Because as we mentioned, there's already been a lot of changes there, but what's happening in the future?
Certainly for us locally, we've continued to make sure we're providing the specialty services that are needed by our growing population. You've seen recently we've launched open heart surgery care at the hospital. We recently announced that we'll be going out to our Westlawn facility and building out the second floor there for St. Thomas Heart, both for a clinic and for cardiac imaging. And then we've also recently announced that we'll be constructing a new 40-bed inpatient rehab hospital across Gateway Boulevard in partnership with LifePoint. These are the things that are happening locally. I think on a more global level, you'll continue to see hospitals making sure that they are keeping their expenses intact. You know, there are many cases where we do not get reimbursed for the care that we're provided. So we're always looking at ways that we can safely and reasonably modify our cost structure, but then also take care of the demands of our consumers, which in many cases involves having the right care at the right place at the right time.
Has it gotten a lot harder today to manage the insurance side of things within a hospital?
I think it has. From the hospital's perspective, and I think our medical staff would agree, there's a lot of red tape bureaucracy in terms of getting pre-approval for certain procedures, certain tests, and sometimes it takes a lot of back and forth discussion between clinicians with the provider and the insurance company to justify that a particular procedure is warranted.
Again, Gordon Ferguson with us with Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford. We'll be right back.
We're at Adams Place talking with John Hood. What advice do you have for someone considering a move?
Well, I would encourage them to check out Adams Place. Come and personally see the facilities, talk to the personnel, and get a true feel of Adams Place.
I'm Terry Deal, Rutherford County's premier retirement community with all five levels of care. Call me for more information about Adams Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
In today's changing world, you need a financial planner that you're comfortable with. Rely on the bonds that you've built with trusted friends at Old National Bank on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard here in the borough. And if you just moved here, visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies.
Honey, the cookies are ready.
Like Grandma used to make. Old National Bank. We're better together.
2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Again, Gordon Ferguson with us today with Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford. Once more, you are officially retiring. This official date for retirement comes when?
It is kind of confusing. I left the CEO position as of May 1st, and then I'm spending the next month with our new CEO, Daphne David, just helping with the transition, getting her familiar with the hospital. And that may well spill over to June as we get Daphne introduced to folks that are outside the hospital. And so June 30th is another key date. Starting July 1st, I will start a new role, which will be a remote role, helping, again, Daphne with some community relations work, and then also with Jenna DeJean, who is over our foundation. We've got a build campaign that we'll be launching soon to help with the build out of our third floor expansion, which is currently under design.
What goes into overseeing the day-to-day activities at a hospital the size of St. Thomas Rutherford?
You know, it truly is a 24/7 responsibility when you're part of our senior leadership team or functioning as the CEO. Hospitals don't close for weekends or holidays. And as we've seen our facility become bigger and busier over the years, you really have to provide the same level of care during a work day as well as a weekend day. And certainly we've always got an administrator on call. We've always got a nursing supervisor who is in charge during our off hours. You just never know what might be occurring at the hospital or what resources might be needed for some kind of a special event that's taking place. And it really is a very taxing role.
Do you sometimes have to come in at all hours of the night, just depending on what's going on?
We do. In fact, we make a deliberate point of trying to come in during the off hours, whether that's in the evening or night shift, and round on our associates. It's rare that if you're on call, as the administrator on call, that you would actually physically have to get up and come into the hospital. A lot can be handled over the phone. But, you know, we want to make sure that our staff who works the weekend or nights feel equally appreciated compared to their colleagues that work the regular day shift schedule.
You know, I don't think I ever asked you this, but what happens when a high profile patient comes in, and be it somebody famous, somebody who's passing through town who has to go to the hospital? But what happens in those cases?
I think first and foremost is for us to protect their privacy. You know, we do get quite a few notable folks in our community come through the hospital for one reason or another. And you can imagine it does get everybody's attention. We like to think that they're going to be provided the same level of care and compassion that we provide all of our patients. But you do have the occasion where you've got to make doubly sure that they may have a privacy status to where we would not be able to release any information about their presence in the hospital.
Do some patients bring with them added security? I mean, have you had guests or patients like that before?
I don't recall that in my time, but I would venture to say maybe there was a time when somebody did have a person accompanying them for safety.
I could only imagine over the years. I mean, even people like Elvis had to go to the hospital, so
right.
It had to be interesting in years past.
Right.
Going into the future, I know you talked a little bit about some of the plans and everything, but where do you see, for example, Westlawn? Because Westlawn right now is emergency care only.
Well, Westlawn actually does have inpatient beds. When we were considering that facility, we had to work closely with the state of Tennessee in licensure because it actually was the first neighborhood hospital in the state of Tennessee. So you're correct. The vast majority of care provided at Westlawn does include emergency room treatment. But in addition to the 8 ER clinical spaces, we've also got 8 inpatient beds. And that is really designed for the low acuity patients, ones that may just need to have some level of observation overnight. And so that's a very exciting place for us to be in that Blackman-Westlawn area, just given the growth that has taken place there.
Where does Westlawn stand today as far as the number of patients? Is it right where you expected? Is it more? Is it less?
It's actually more on the ER side and a little bit less on the inpatient side. Right now, we're consistently taking care of just over 1,000 patients, each ER patients each month at Westlawn. And I think as folks began to understand what that facility was, what kind of care is provided there, there's been a lot of very positive feedback that we've received from patients going there and being treated quickly coming into the ER.
Has the county with the ambulance service, have they gotten used to having this choice of being able to take patients there in Murfreesboro?
Yes, I like to think they have. We did a lot of discussions with them as we were preparing to open in terms of the types of patients that we do care for there, the types of patients that we don't. For example, anybody having serious signs of a heart attack would be guided to the main hospital as opposed to Westlawn. But we've got a very good relationship with the county EMS, and they are very understanding of the types of patients that should be brought to our facility.
And of course, some patients who arrive there by their personal vehicle, maybe they're dropped off, they're later transferred to St. Thomas Rutherford, I guess because of the level of care needed. But how often do those types of transfers occur?
There's quite a few, and we monitor that very closely, wanting to make sure was that transfer appropriate or not. The vast majority of patients coming in the ER at Westlawn are seen there and then discharged home. But when we do have an occasion to transfer, we've got a fairly good protocol for making that happen in a timely manner.
Now, when you first started at Middle Tennessee Medical Center, I think the population of Murfreesboro was closer to that 60,000 number. In fact, it may have been a little under 60,000. Have you been surprised at the population growth alone that we've seen in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County?
In a way, I think when we are looking at the data to justify building a new hospital and trying to right-size that facility, not just for the care that was being provided in 2010 when we moved there, but we also worked with our architects to design the hospital in a way that it would be easily to expand both vertically and horizontally. And in the last 15 years, we've had several additions that took advantage of that pre-planning work. You know, I think across the country, we continue to see the rate of inpatient care decline as many procedures are now being taken care of on an outpatient basis. And we had to take that into consideration while we were projecting the bed need going forward. But I'm not sure any of us really grasp just the growth that would take place when we were designing the stage back in around 2006. But we now are licensed for 418 beds. We've got all of those beds in service with the exception of 10 or 12 beds in our new expanded critical care unit. And we're just watching the volume there to make sure that we can justify staffing all 50 critical care beds.
How much more can the hospital here in Murfreesboro grow when you look at St. Thomas Rutherford?
We can add on to the back extension that we have just completed up to the third floor. That section of the hospital can be expanded vertically up to seven floors to match the east wing. In terms of horizontal expansion, we do have the ability to expand a little bit on the second floor, which would most likely be an expansion of our surgical suite. But in terms of additional land to develop, you know, we really have tried to save some green space on the campus, and we try to maintain that well. But I think we've probably just about maxed out our main structure in terms of future significant expansion. We were fortunate enough just a few years ago to construct a 1,000-space parking garage, which I'm really pleased that was approved because we had a lot of complaints about parking accessibility. And so that's another thing that we have to keep in mind when we talk about future expansions.
In your opinion, do we have enough doctors and surgeons in the Murfreesboro area?
I think there are specialties that are fully resourced from a manpower standpoint. One of the concerns that I have and that we have as an organization is just the availability of primary care physicians. We've seen a good number of longstanding either internists or family practice physicians who have retired. And unfortunately, the old model of a solo practice or a small practice is not as prevalent today as it was in the past. So primary care is an area that we know there's ongoing needs and demands.
Again, Gordon Ferguson with us today of Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford here in Murfreesboro, and of course Westlawn as well. When you look at the overall layout of really both hospitals, there's also something that I guess a lot of people don't really see or may not understand, but the hospital as a landlord, you've got different tenants within the hospital itself. How does that work, and how many tenants do you have, and what are those?
That's a very interesting question. historically, hospitals have built on their campuses medical office buildings, and we actually have two medical office buildings on our campus today. But we do not own those buildings. They are constructed and developed through a third party who then leases the space to physicians or in some cases back to the hospital. But we do control the land. So there's a land lease for both the Seton and DePaul buildings that we can have input into who can occupy those buildings.
And those are pretty good size operations. I mean, the buildings themselves are big, but those are both good size operations.
They are. Both are four levels. And we did at one point have plans to construct a third medical office building. That's on hold at the moment, but we do have that space that's on Thompson Lane that we could construct a medical office building there.
And how does the situation or the arrangement work for doctors who may practice elsewhere, but yet they obviously come to Ascension St. Thomas to do surgeries and things along those lines? How does that work? Because I'm sure a lot of people out there have never really thought about it.
They are all credentialed by our medical staff and approved finally by our board. And we can have physicians that are part of a large practice like Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, Tennessee Oncology. They are independent practices from the hospital. But we also, over the years, have actually employed more physicians. And so we've got several of our physicians in the medical office building that are part of St. Thomas Medical Partners. It just is, again, part of the change in healthcare over the years and in days gone by, the vast majority of physicians were not employed by the hospital. But over time, and as the models have changed for reimbursement, there are quite a few benefits in terms of alignment if you have physicians that are employed by the hospital or a related entity.
I guess because of these different relationships and different programs, different companies even, you've got billing for all these various services. One bill may come from the hospital, one from the doctor's office. I could see where that would get confusing, but it looks like over the years, the insurance companies are the ones who have almost demanded these changes all along the way.
Yes, I do think the insurance companies have played a key role in how our healthcare is delivered. I'd like to say that regardless of who a physician or a physician extender is employed by, we want to treat everybody the same in terms of making sure they've got access to the equipment, to the supplies, and to the staff that they need to carry out their roles whenever in the hospital, particularly our surgeons. They want to come to an operating room that is well run, that runs on time and has the staff they are needed to support them in their procedures.
When you oversee the operations of a hospital each day, you run into the hardest times of somebody's life, the happiest times of their life. I mean, you run into all of these different emotional states. How hard is it to deal with that? And then how do you separate or maybe drop that off at the door when you leave to go home?
Just to answer that last part, I'll admit I've not done a very good job about turning things off when I leave home. I think with the advent of email, many evenings I'll be at home and just going through emails to stay current. But I do think that healthcare has just gone through a tremendous amount of change. And one of the things we've got to do is keep up with that technology, make sure that we've got the rooms that are safe for our patients and comfortable. If you think about it, most patients, they really don't want to be at a hospital. Other than if they're having a baby, it can be a very stressful time. And I think that's where, in my role, and I'm sure and Daphne will carry this on, we want to make sure our staff have the tools and the equipment they need, but also the emotional and spiritual support that we can provide to them because they are on the front line. You know, certainly those of us in administration have our challenges, but just seeing the demands that are put on our nursing and our patient care techs and our other support staff, it can be a very stressful work environment. And that's why we do what we can to celebrate accomplishments of our staff members through our Days Year B Awards and to have fun. You know, we recently had a nacho served out in our courtyard to celebrate our 98th anniversary earlier this month. And When we run, we tend to take a lot of snacks with us as we're thanking our staff.
Again, Gordon Ferguson is with us today, CEO of Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford, who is retiring, and then new CEO is here. What is, again, the new CEO's name?
Daphne David. Daphne was the CEO at Summit Medical Center, which is part of the TriStar Healthcare Company. And she will be relocating to Rutherford County with her family. And I was fortunate enough to be one of the fairly small group members that conducted this search. Obviously, I've got a lot of investment in the hospital, being that I've been there for 27 years. And I think we've done very well in landing Daphne in this role. She's from southern Mississippi, like myself. Daphne's dad's a preacher. And I think she just feels very much that this new role is a calling, and I know that she'll do well.
From the outside looking in, and I think Hollywood has really given a lot of people this perspective of the life of a doctor, the life of a nurse. You know, they glamorize, all right, well, if you're a doctor, you accomplish this, this, and this. But they never talk about all the hours that are put in to the work that they do day in and day out. But you've seen it firsthand. You've lived it. It's been part of your life. What is that life like for anybody who is not in the medical industry?
I think it's just a very high degree of responsibility. When you think about it, you're dealing with individuals' lives, and you want to make sure that we're doing the best job that we can. But as I mentioned earlier, hospitals just don't close. And we're finding with having a very large emergency room that we're seeing a lot of patients come to us from some of the outlying areas because of the shortage of healthcare service in our more rural areas. And so that, again, just puts more of a responsibility on us that, yes, we're taking care of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, but over the years, we have become the destination of choice for a lot of folks living down the I-24 corridor.
How far away, realistically, do you get some of the patients who may come to the ER?
Really, from all parts of Middle Tennessee. We've got a transfer center that's a central resource for Ascension St. Thomas. And if one of our larger hospitals don't have a bed immediately available, then we'll be asked if this patient could be transferred to Murfreesboro. And if we've a bed available, then we'll certainly take care of that patient. I think, you know, we saw just a lot of stress put on the healthcare system a few years ago with COVID. And at that point, we were getting calls from all over Tennessee and some of the surrounding states because hospitals were just going through a time when they were just being pushed to the max regarding capacity.
How big of a turnover and how hard was it throughout those COVID years?
It was very challenging. I know that we look back on that now thinking, how in the world did we make it through that? Because there was so much that we were learning and have to pivot quickly with the pandemic. It did take a toll on, I think, some of our older staff members who felt maybe they were looking a few years out for retirement and they just had a lot of stress and decided that they would just leave the profession. We had a kind of a double dose because right at a year ago, we were dealing with the cybersecurity event. And again, we were having to pivot quickly to adjust to that environment.
During that whole COVID period, you know, we heard all these requirements the government was putting out. You know, people had to wear masks, and these were at the local level, at the federal level. You're hearing just different stuff every single day. In the medical field, were you receiving a multitude of mandates from the government, or were they just suggestions at the time during COVID?
I would say probably more mandates during that particular time, but being part of Ascension, we benefited from the infrastructure of a national healthcare system, and so we would have routine calls of all Ascension hospitals, kind of giving updates and status reports and trying to learn from each other. And certainly we can look back and critique some of the things that we did well, some of the things that maybe we didn't do as well, but it certainly was very much of a learning experience that that I hope we don't have to go through again.
You know, again, from the outside looking in, it seems like another area that changed in a lot of hospitals all across the country were the food services and the restaurant type setting within hospitals, not just here locally, but again, all across the nation. It feels like we saw a change at some point where it went from cafeteria style food to almost a real restaurant style.
You're correct. You're very much on target. And I think, again, it goes back to consumer choice and consumer preferences. Again, if you don't really want to be in a hospital visiting a loved one, you don't want to go down to the cafeteria and have a bologna sandwich or something like that. And so over the years, we've really, at least here at Rutherford, when we were designing that cafeteria, we wanted to make it as retail friendly as we could. And I will say, just recently, we've worked out an arrangement with Chick-fil-A where they're coming in on certain days, certain hours, and serving Chick-fil-A sandwiches to both our staff members and our visitors.
Is it mind-boggling to you? I mean, because you've seen all the changes over the years at hospitals all over the nation, but you've seen the changes from when you started until you look at today. Is it mind-boggling to take in all those changes?
It is in many ways. When I look back, my first job was in 1983 when I finished graduate school. I was working at a hospital in Birmingham at the time. And when I consider what we were dealing with then to what we're dealing with now, it's just very different. We're dealing with a workforce that is a very different mindset relative to work ethics. We're also dealing with physicians that really can go virtually anywhere to practice. And so we've got to be very mindful of what we need to be doing to keep them engaged and being part of our medical staff. And so I think you've just got so many different factors, whether it's on technology or, again, patient privacy regulations that have come out over the years. And I will say, though, in spite of all these changes, I would not change a thing about my decision to go into healthcare. We've been very blessed to have worked in hospitals, Knoxville, Clarksville, and here, and become part of the community. And I think that's what I've enjoyed so much in my time here is, yes, working within the walls of the hospital is important, but we've also got to connect with our community, be involved in different events, whether it's through sponsorship or participation. And to me, that's how we continue to earn the respect of those that we serve, as well as keep them engaged and wanting to come to our hospital for care.
How do you go about managing the different personalities, the different age groups of workers? Because there are a lot of differences and changes even in the thought process of the younger generation versus those who are maybe 50 plus.
I'm still working on that. I'm not saying that's the reason for my retirement, but I do think that we've got to be so understanding and sensitive to the thought process of those that either our employees, our physicians, but also our patients. They come in with very different expectations of what I experienced, you know, early on in my career. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's different. And then we've just got to be prepared to meet those individuals where they are. Sometimes we can, and sometimes we can't.
And of course, Murfreesboro, Rutherford County is such an area of just vast cultures. I mean, there's people who are moving here from all over the world. And I'm curious, how does that play a role in the day-to-day activities, the day-to-day healthcare provided at the hospital?
You know, one of the values that we have is that we provide healthcare to all. And that is something that I'm very proud of for our hospital here in Murfreesboro. And so one of the things I know that we've had to really be careful with is our interpretation services, because if you have a family member that's communicating with a nurse or a physician and then there's confusion with what was actually communicated, in the days of old we would try and find somebody who would speak that particular language, but now we've got a nifty little tablet that we can connect to interpreter for virtually almost any language that we might come across. And that has proven to be extremely helpful to our nurses and to our physicians.
I bet, but I'm sure some stuff can get lost in translation, because if you don't have the right tone with a certain word, it may change the entire conversation.
Correct, and particularly patient safety. I mean, if you have one misinterpretation, that can really trigger a lot of unintended consequences. But that's kind of more on the global perspective. And you're right, we're seeing patients that are coming, moved here from the West Coast or Northeast, and we just want to make them feel at home, feel welcomed, and feel valued.
And we're already out of time. Again, with us today, retiring CEO of Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford after, 27 years?
That's correct.
Is that 27 years at the same hospital?
It's at the same hospital, 19 years as the CEO.
That's pretty cool. And it's neat that you were able to see all those changes here locally.
No, you're right. I just want to thank your listeners again for the support that they provided to Cindy and myself with the time we've been here, but more importantly to our hospital. And we've considered it a true privilege and blessing.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Scott.